stop, drop, shut them down, open up, GitHub. IT Glue unintentionally teaches us about security, and Apple plays freeze tag. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by Tech Tailgate 2022. MSB Media Network is proud to premiere Tech Tailgate at IT Nation Connect 2022. Come tailgate with your favorite vendors and pros in the MSB channel all throughout the week. Learn game-winning strategies, pick up exclusive swag through special giveaways, and build up your roster for another W at the Super Bowl of IT events. Look out for our locker room interviews from all the major players leading up to the week of the big game. To learn more, visit techtailgate2022.com.
Good morning and welcome to the November 8th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, excellent, especially when I see the blooper reels at the end. Coming in hot.
When we come out of the gate with the blooper reels, you know it's going to be a special episode.
Two words in.
And we start with bloopers, but we also started by learning that we were living a lie. Our own media editor, Phil, gets a lot of credit for making a lot of the music, a lot of the all the videos and stuff that we do. But the Hackett promo that we've been, oh yeah, now you're the banter, Phil. That's already pops up. Oh no, I'm the banter. So we just found out that the Hackett promo, to which we've been saying is a bop, that's a hard hitting banger that we've been dancing to for the last several weeks. It's not his original music, and he never said a word. Yes. Next you're going to tell me Santa's not real. I don't know if I can live with this. Now,
but you're going to tell me that thumb wars aren't actual wars. That's what I want to be.
I'm positive like territory has been defined by the winner of thumb wars. There's no way I don't believe that. But you know what is real? Back to yeeting in space. So, you know, there's an old adage, what goes up must come down, and the same is absolutely true with rockets. But some play a little fast and loose. So there's a story I found, and I'll be honest, I found it on TikTok first. China launches rockets to build their own space station. Nothing crazy there, right? That's as per our last episode, everybody and their mother has something up in space at this point. But apparently China, instead of landing gracefully the way SpaceX has been doing, they just let it fall to Earth. And they take a I wish I was exaggerating about this. They take a reasonable bet saying it's probably going to land in the ocean. So the last two that they did, because we're on round three right now, the last two that they did mostly landed in the ocean. And then one of them landed, I believe, over parts of North Africa. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. The reason I bring this up is because there's a third rocket, and she coming down on November 5th. So watch the skies, hide your wives, hide your kids, stay indoors. It may not be a shooting star. It may be a falling rocket.
I'm just going to say what everyone else is thinking before we jump into the news. Hope is not a good strategy. I'm just going to say it because we're all thinking it. Hope is not a good strategy.
Why don't we yeet into the news, man?
Yeet. Jumping into our first story, coming in hot from SiliconANGLE.com, a story by Duncan Riley. 130 Dropbox GitHub repositories have been compromised in a successful phishing attack. Cloud storage provider Dropbox has disclosed the details of a recent phishing attack that resulted in unauthorized access to 130 of its GitHub software code repositories. While noting that no content, passwords, or payment information were compromised in the attack, Dropbox said Tuesday that it was providing the details of the attack as part of its commitment to security, privacy, and transparency. The attack, which followed GitHub's detailing a phishing campaign in September, was first detected on October 14th when GitHub alerted Dropbox to suspicious behavior that had begun on the previous day. Upon investigation, Dropbox found that a threat actor pretending to be Circle Internet Services, Inc., had accessed one of the GitHub accounts. The threat actor accessed to the GitHub account where they proceeded to copy 130 code repositories, and the repositories included copies of third-party libraries, slightly modified by use for Dropbox, internal prototypes, and some tools and configuration files used by Dropbox security team. Ray, there are two things I'd really like to discuss here. First is the transparency and the swiftness that they showed in terms of disclosing the detail about their breach in a timely manner, which I absolutely love. Tip of the hat to you, Dropbox. Thank you very much. You almost played it like hacking occurs with everyone for just a moment, which is amazing. Clarity, transparency, and promptness. Second thing is this attack. Well, is attacking the primary target head on, no longer the preferred way of doing it. Our upstream, going upstream one level, the new norm for hackers, because this is clearly one level up in the code repository prospect where it could be attacking Dropbox directly or something else. What are your thoughts on this?
I like, it's interesting because we talked last episode about ransomware evolving, you know, but this is a case where not new, right? Like we saw this even as far back as the Orion, the SolarWinds, where now it wasn't phishing that they used, but they absolutely were able to commit to the repos, and they were attacking the supply chain. We talked about this with Node, right? Where Node packages, there were something like over 11,000 Node packages that weren't being updated, but were open source and could be committed to by anybody, you know, stuff like that. So supply chain makes a whole lot of sense. It's a super sweet target, very similar to the way MSPs are the supply chain to clients, right? To attack one MSP, you may get tens, dozens, hundreds of clients, maybe even thousands of clients and their networks. These kind of attacks make a whole lot of sense. I'm not promoting doing it. Don't come back and say MSP dispatch said. No, I'm not saying to do that. Just the opposite, but I can certainly understand why. And the reason I highlight that is because it's prevalent, it's obvious, it's fruitful. I say this for the protectors of the security realm. Understand the risk. Understand you are guarding the kingdom.
One of the things that's critical is that micro segmentation is critical to enforce authentication and any type of security measurement. And what happened here is that there wasn't, I don't want to say an enforced or a micro segmentation on purpose. It was coincidental, but those alerts coming from their GitHub account in a micro segmented fashion was amazing, as opposed to one account having access to everything, or multiple accounts that they have internally have access to what would be considered micro-segmented, but without the appropriate alerting system. And I think what we're seeing is how micro-segmentation can actually reflect in an immediate turnaround or reaction in the event of something being compromised. So, Ray, we should probably jump into the next story because we got bloopers throughout this entire episode.
We got more bloopers than news. It's my fault for picking on Phil. That's never mess with the guy that makes you look good.
if there was a way to jump directly into the next story, I would do that. But I'm going to say that it's something obscure dot next story.
In our second top story in the security realm, on November 1st, a Redditor that goes by GarbageCertain8475 posted in RMSP that IT Glue or Kaseya had been hacked. He says again, we don't actually have evidence they'd been hacked before, but it says resulted in a subdomain takeover POC by Anil. going to the website https://eu.itglue.com resulted in a pop-up that stated, yes, I'm vulnerable. Please fix me ASAP. Upon clicking that, you would be met with a screen saying subdomain takeover by POC by Anil. Anil is widely believed that he is a security researcher that posted on Twitter about the same subdomain takeover attack. Subdomain takeovers happen when subdomains are abandoned and then subsequently re-registered by third parties for nefarious, malicious, whatever purposes. Tony, we've seen this before. We've talked about subdomain takeovers before. I should note, IT Glue and Kaseya did resolve this within a matter of hours. Going to archive.org, it was pointed out that the subdomain actually had never been used. There was no record of it ever being used. Those in the EU, I did confirm with others, they were able to access their normal subdomains. They were able to access app.itglue.com. So it doesn't look like it was actually anything, there was anybody really at risk. It was just a proof of concept. But we've talked about subdomain takeovers before. We've talked about Microsoft having well over 600 unused subdomains that were left out there, orphaned, and subject to it. I think they'd cleaned it up at last count, and it was something still under 200, ridiculous number. This happens pretty wide scale, but it's, the risk is scary, right? The risk is they can put up a fake screen with the login, grab your credentials, not actually log you in, or maybe they do. We had previously talked about proxy login bypass before. I'm not going to point that out because that's way too far for Phil to go check out. But this is dangerous. What do you think, Tony? Like, what's your takeaway when you see a security company like IT Glue? And I say security because they hold your assets. They hold your logins. They hold your credentials. It's a security company. If you make the locks, you're a security company. If you put the locks on your doors, you're still a security company. So you see this happen. What's your takeaway from a story like this?
I think that's a great question. At the end of the day, I believe that there are priorities in security. As much as we all want to say that security, 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 that's not the case. Making sure you have the keys to the front door of your building, that is security. Making sure that your passwords are kept safe, that is security. Personally, I'd let somebody come into my building before I'd give them access to the password. Just my personal opinion. There are very, very small gradient levels of security. In this particular case, accidents happen. There is a domain, and I want to put this in the pedestrian language for everyone out there. You run a promotion, a campaign, a marketing campaign, and it's, one-time offer dot yourdomain.com. And you run that on a website through, a record. Thank you. An A record. I'm thinking of all the different ways that I could, not the MX record, the A record diverting to this IP address that Amazon gives you, or that Bluehost gives you, or someone gives you. And that's easily, you can go back and see who owns the C block for that particular IP range. And you're done with that particular promotion. They can go back because the domain still exists. Even though the IP address and the website may be down, they can go back and find and obtain that IP address in some capacity through a request, and then spin up a website of somepromotion.yourdomain.com, and they are officially serving from subdomain.yourdomain.com, which means they can do anything they want. So from a pedestrian perspective, those that aren't understanding what a subdomain attack is, that's what a subdomain attack is. And that's one variation. There is quite a few variations, especially if they get a hold of your registry. To me, it's terrifying because it can have a drastic effect. If you get an email from an actual Microsoft.com address that says you have a serious problem, log into your account, and it's some obscure domain, and you click on it and you don't realize it's just a fabricated image or website that looks and feels like theirs, but it's getting you to enter your credentials. Now they have those credentials. That's the devastating first step that can occur from a subdomain attack, as we're witnessing here. The summary of it is, I think much worse could occur. Huge tip of the hat to the person that actually did that, saying, hey, your fly's down. and thank you very much. I appreciate that. But it could have gone worse. And I think I went on a long time about this, but I need everyone to understand the severity, the magnitude, and most importantly, the potential of this and the commonality of it with almost everyone out there. So check your domain, check all the associated subdomains. Don't leave floating domains out there.
Or use something like desired state configuration. I'm sorry, it's been a minute since we've used that.
You just romance me again with that.
You know, and speaking of going back to old school, our next story is about Apple playing freeze tag.
Ooh, jumping right into some potential economy news from 9to5Mac.com, a story by Chance Miller. Apple slashes budgets and implements the broad hiring freeze. While Apple has acknowledged that it slowed its hiring amid concerns about economic downturn, a new report from Insider has more details about the company's internal plans. The report claims that Apple has, quote, paused almost all hiring, and this freeze could remain in effect through late 2023. Citing three sources that are with close knowledge of the conversations, saying Apple has informed staff across multiple divisions that it, quote, won't be onboarding new hires for a number of months. This hiring freeze could run through the end of the Apple's fiscal year, which comes to a close in September 23. Sources inside Apple, however, also pointed out that Apple is also being cautious how it characterizes hiring pauses or slowdowns because it conceded such moves could put a further dent in the company's stock price. Ray, I have questions because we're looking at two different things here. We're looking at a move that a lot of companies make at some point or another, but we're also looking at something that could be the canary in the coal mine. Is Apple that canary about the economic turndown that it's forecasting? Do they have the brain power to process what is ahead and they are taking the appropriate steps now? What are your thoughts?
So, if this was anyone else, if this was Google, if this was Microsoft, if this was literally anybody else, I would be saying they're guessing, they're reading the tea leaves, educated guesses. Absolutely. They have a global perspective, but this is Apple. This is Steve Jobs' Apple. I get he's gone, you know, long live Steve Jobs. I get he's passed and his brilliance, but his brilliance still carries with us today in that. Remember, Steve Jobs was the supply chain genius, right? Steve Jobs was the guy that said, we're going to make it so that we can stop holding too much inventory. We can get faster to market. We can cut out these middlemen. We can just trim the fat so we can go as quickly and as efficiently as humanly possible. The reason I say that, even though he's not around today, is because that company culture, that kind of mentality where you need to be able to think in 18-month, 24-month, 36-month leaps and be able to interpret the tea leaves enough that you can be effective. And Apple does have a proven track record when it comes to this. So because it's Apple, I'm going to say they know what they're doing. Now, to be fair, we've also talked about Google doing mass layoffs and doing hiring freezes and Microsoft doing the same and a bunch of blue chip companies doing the same. And then we also talked about the third quarter economic reports today saying that everything is great. So, you know, it absolutely all makes sense. But Apple's the one that I would say this is the one that makes the most sense because they're not normally known for doing a ton of layoffs. Apple's known for doing exactly what they need. And so if they're saying we're doing hiring freezes, that's something to pay attention to.
I don't know what to say. We all have to consider this, a potential canary in the coal mine. We all have to anticipate the rumors in some capacity. A good rule of thumb is, you know, that I've spoken about many times in public speaking events are, you know, as the leader of a company, you have the right to win and lose your battles. You do not have the right to be surprised. And I feel that there is leadership in the Apple organization that is not going to be surprised. And I think they're making the policy changes now to accommodate, you know, what they see foresee ahead, which is very concerning to me. But the good news is in the show, we've talked about it substantially. You know, what are the MSPs out there doing? What are small to medium businesses doing to prepare for a potential economic downturn? Are there hardening mechanisms that you can implement now? Are there measures that you can take to substantiate your income that will endure a storm? It may not be scalable, but it will endure a storm. Or are you going to make a drastic change to cut these things off before the headwinds hit you? I'm really interested to see if anyone else out there is seeing that as the canary in the coal mine. I'd love to hear some input from the MSPs out there. Are you making any changes? Wow. Look at that. Do we have something down there? Is there something?
No, I'm saying put it in the comments below. I thought you were going that. I was trying, you know how you do the thumbs up and you do the thing? I was trying to do the same for you.
I didn't know that you actually see what I'm doing because you're so focused when I'm doing all my animation. I'm like, he's not cracking. He's good. He has me off the screen.
Yeah. So yeah. I'll just sit quietly now.
We should hear from others though. I think there's a lot of extremely valuable input from everyone listening, and it's not just and I know because I hear comments. It's not just the MSP, the managed service providers, the TSPs, the technology service providers. It's not just those individuals, which is our core audience, listening to this, because I would love to hear that input. We're also track the vendors, the big vendors that listen to us. So they've pulled me aside and said that it's very educational, which is great, which guess what? Means the MSPs should weigh in. It will help the vendors react accordingly. We would love to hear anything we can regarding any of the stories. Specifically, I would love to hear about the potential economic downturn and what people are doing.
You think they're listening to us on YouTube or the video podcast or the audio podcast or the aggregated video podcast for MMN or the aggregated audio podcast for MMN, or seeing us live like we're doing next week, but shh, we'll talk about that later. Let's get into the notables for now.
Let's do it.
In my first notable, Microsoft 365 and Oreo Snack Break, written by Gloria Cowden on Food Business News. That's correct, Food Business News, before you ask why I'm covering the story. In collaboration with Microsoft, Nabisco Company, makers of Oreo, is debuting Oreo Thinvites. After signing up, participants will receive an email invitation to a Thinvite meeting, which will block 15 minutes on their calendars from November 1st through November 3rd. Participants are encouraged to use this time to snack on Oreo Thins and watch a linked Microsoft Teams video featuring puppies called Return to the Pawfis. As part of the collaboration, there will be a limited edition Oreo Thin snack pack featuring the Microsoft mascot Clippy, he's back, a tool to keep fingers milk-free called Clippy Dippy, and branded Oreo emojis to use on Microsoft Teams. According to the company, the campaign aims to solve the issues of decline of the workday snack break and serve as an inspiration for people to take snack breaks. In my second notable mention, Google AI Unleashed, written by Jennifer A. Kingston on Axios. Google Research showcased an assortment of AI projects, otherwise known as artificial intelligence, in various stages of development on Wednesday. These AI projects have goals ranging from social improvements like better health, diagnosis, to pure creativity and fun like text-to-image generation. For social improvement, Google is developing wildfire tracking, flood prediction, maternal health ultrasound AI, and the 1,000 language initiative. On the experimental side, the company is working on a self-coding robot and a fiction writing tool called WordCraft. I cannot wait for a world of WordCraft. Despite AI's potential to improve our lives, improper development and deployment could risk misuse, intrusion, and malfunction. Because of these risks, the White House recently issued a preliminary AI Bill of Rights, which asks technologists to build safeguards into their products, aka they're trying to avoid Skynet.
In my first notable mention from darkreading.com, the Chinese mob has 100,000 slaves working in Cambodia, cybercrime mills. Vulnerable people are lured by Facebook ads promising high-paying jobs, but instead they're held captive and put to work in Cambodia running their scams. Up to 100,000 people from across Asia have been lured to Cambodia by Chinese crime syndicates with the promise of good jobs when they arrive, Their passports are seized and they're put to work in modern day sweatshops running cybercrime campaigns. The Los Angeles Times reported that Cambodia, which was hit hard economically by the pandemic, has allowed Chinese mobsters to set up enormous cybercrime operations using human trafficked labor without consequence because of the revenue it generates for the country. The campaigns they carry out run the gamut from romance scams to fake sports betting. Although the Cambodian government acknowledges that as many as 100,000 workers are involved in these activities, it denies anyone is being held against their will. However, the stories from traumatized victims rescued from cybercrime bills include tales of beatings and torture for failing to meet quotas and of being sold and passed around from gang to gang. Instead of getting fired for poor performance, you get physical punishments, forced push-ups, squats, tased, beaten, deprived of food, and locked up in the dark room, or worse. In my next notable mention, everyone please listen to this one. It's important. From malwarebytes.com, TikTok is, quote, unacceptable security risk and should be removed from the app store, says FCC. Brendan Carr, the commissioner of the SEC, the Federal Communications Commission, called on the CEOs of Apple and Google to remove TikTok from their app stores. In a letter dated June 24th, 2022, Carr told Tim Cook and Sundar Pichai that TikTok poses an unacceptable national security risk due to its extensive data harvesting being combined with Beijing's apparently unchecked access to that sensitive data. TikTok is said to collect everything from search and browsing histories, keystroke patterns, biometric identifiers, including face prints, something that might be used in unrelated facial recognition technology, and voice prints, location data, draft messages, metadata, and data stored on the clipboard, including texts, images, and videos. For more details, please see the show notes.
In this week's upcoming events, November 7th through 9th, Acrona Cyber Summit 2022, and there will be not one but two episodes of the Tech Bar, broadcasting live both on Monday and today, Tuesday. November 9th through 11th, in-person event, IT Nation Connect by ConnectWise in Orlando, Florida. Be sure to join us because we will be on site there covering events all week long, including November 9th at 9 p.m. Eastern, where we'll have the Tech Bar and MSP Geek Family Reunion at IT Nation Connect. We'll have a big community family reunion party on site featuring CW Boss, MSP Geek, and the Tech Bar community, and Seven Figure MSP will have their casino event at the same time in the same space. Come join us for lots of fun. Also join us on Thursday at the off-campus event for a very secret, very fun event. You'll have to be there to see what's going on. November 11th, 10 a.m. Eastern, MSP Dispatch Week Wrap-Up presented by MSP Media Network, recorded from IT Nation Connect. November 14th through 16th, 12 p.m., starts Hackett 2022, presented by Huntress. Those of you that attended Huntress's Hackett 2021 or any of the previous sessions will be delighted to know they're back at it. And joining me to talk about it is Mr. John Hammond, the senior cybersecurity researcher over at Huntress.
What we like to bring with Hackett 2022 is a lot of education, hands-on experience, interactive stuff to get you in the know about what threats are out there. We are diving into three different sessions during the content days, November 15th and 16th. So you have two chances to catch the content.
And then on top of that, you guys have a pre-day event also, right?
So what we call day zero is a hands-on hacking training lab, cutting through code, slinging exploits, a lot of fun and very cool stuff.
MSP Media Network is actually going to give away five of the zero-day licenses. We'll put the information below, but absolutely we invite you guys to sign up for Hackett 2022.
Excellent. See you soon.
Ba-na-na-na-na. That's a song that Phil didn't make.
Without skipping a beat, just and scene, punch, boom.
Poor Phil. And with that promo, we want to remind our viewers that this week is the last chance to enter for the giveaway. One of five free zero-day passes. The winner will be drawn on Friday's episode during our show that will air on Friday, November 11th at 10 a.m. So, Tony, how'd you like today's show? I'm going to do the those of you that haven't seen Tony on his other episode, his other shows, or talked to him in person, this is how Tony does. So, how'd you like today's episode? If you liked it, hit that thumbs up button and keep it on fleek. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it 3 times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Also, did you know we have a Discord server where we pick stories and you guys can vote on stories? Our Oreo Thinvite story, just before the Cambodian slavery story, was actually proposed on the Discord. So we thank you to those guys and girls over there. And as my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. And if you have any questions, email news at MSP Media TV for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Tony, I appreciate you. I appreciate your commentary. I appreciate your insight. I appreciate you letting me do the Skynet and Oreo Thinvite stories while you do the hard-hitting Cambodian slavery and security
stories. Cambodian slavery. Like, I mean, just... TikTok is stealing all of your information. You're getting, just for clicking on, are your eyes green or blue? You're smart. You click on it, you're a Cambodian slave, like all this stuff. But you get the, oh, if you like this food, you go to this place and they have great recipes. And
I realize the absolute error in judgment that I've made in that I not only, and you joined me in this, we not only gave our video editor a hard time, we also gave him a ton of bloopers that I'm sure will be on the end of this episode. So I am absolutely looking forward to seeing this for the editorial review. But with that, that's the end of the show. I look forward to seeing you in a couple days. So we record from IT Nation Connect.
Can't wait.
I hope you have an awesome weekend, an awesome week, and same to you with MSP audience. Take care of yourselves and each other.
Love y'all.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Stop, drop, shut them down. Oh, that sounded horrible. Hold on. Can't be all weak sauce when you're doing Rough Riders. All right. I just realized that's going to go in the bloopers. Tony. All right. Good morning and welcome. There we go. We haven't even gotten to IT Nation yet, man. Jesus. Okay. All right.
The threat actor access to GitHub, where they... quick. The threat access... hold on. One more time. Going in. Yeet. So good. Yeet. I was doing so good. Here we go.
No, but we pointed out to it also where... good Lord, I lost my train of thought.
Nodes.
No, it was after Node. It was.
I think we have another blooper here somewhere.
I do.
You know what just happened?
Threw me off.
No, you know what just happened? Ray went. His thinking went.
Wee. All right. Whatever. Pretend I said something salient. Anyway. I never should have picked that beat. No, I love the beat, Phil. It's awesome, dude.
Yeet. No,
it's the easiest.
This is the Phil episode. It's all about the Phil. So let me kind of jump in with sources inside Apple, however, pointed out that Apple is being, quote, cautious how it characterizes hiring pauses. So close. I was coming through that. I was going so good. So good.
The news brought to you by Donald Duck.
Okay.
In my second notable mention, Google AI Unleashed, as written by Jennifer A. Kingston on Axios. Google Research showcased an assortment of AI, artificial intelligence projects, in various stages of Sorry, I know Carrie gets really happy when I totally flip out, but not having that kind of energy today. All right.
Instead of getting fired or for poor for so close. Okay. instead of getting fired for poor performance. One more time. Instead of getting fired for poor for, oh my goodness. Hold on. Peter Piper picked a Becca pickled peppers. Okay. Poor performance. Here we go.